Well, let me invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to two particular passages this morning, the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, and then the book of Romans, also chapter 6. And while you're turning there, let me ask you a question. Do you have the power to resist temptation? Something comes across your mind, something comes across your life, some image, phrase, picture, whatever it is. Do you have the power when it comes to overcoming and not surrendering to temptation when it comes to your life? You know, a voice in your mind says, you need to do this, you need to say that, you need to see this, you need to watch this. Do you have the power when it comes to resisting temptation? Now, here's the sad reality about so many whenever it comes to this one area when it comes to the power of temptation. I'm not talking about lost people right now. I'm talking about those who are saved by the grace of God. Because only God in heaven knows the countless lives who are lost and when it comes to morality issues. I don't mean they're lost spiritually, but they get lost in a sea of temptation. They get lost in a sea of sensual, sexual temptation, maybe by TV, maybe by movies, by internet, whatever it is. And here's the line of thinking in so many who even name the name Jesus. Well, after all, I'm going to go ahead and commit it anyway. And I may as well do it now rather than later. So I may as well give in to this temptation. After all, God will forgive me, right? Well, you've heard me say over and over and over again by the evidence of Scripture, by the truth of God's Word, yes, there's always forgiveness. But forgiveness never does erase a single consequence when it comes to sin and temptation. And what happens is our mind becomes more numbed and more insensitive. And after a while, you can do things and say things and see things that didn't bother you a long time ago. And you find in yourself, you think, well, what's going on in my heart? Well, it becomes a desensitization when it comes to the temptations of life. And so this morning we're going to deal with, in this series on the truth about temptation, realizing the power to resist. Now the Bible makes it very clear that whenever you were saved by the grace of God, He placed inside of you a power, not only a power, but a person. And He wants you and me to understand that He has given us the power to resist. But a lot of times we get saved, a person is saved by the grace of God, and they just keep floundering around. Why? Because they don't understand the power at their disposal. And so this morning, I want you to listen very carefully. I want you to engage your mind very seriously because this message has the potential to set you free for the rest of your life when it comes to yielding to temptation. Well, you say, what's the big deal in yielding? After all, I can ask forgiveness, right? Yes, but the reality of it is you sow, you reap what you sow. And you always reap later, you reap longer, you reap more abundantly. And only God knows this morning how many lives are being devastated because they're just continually floundering around whenever it comes to the area of temptation and surrendering to temptation. You know the world you live in. I know the world we live in. There's temptation thrown at you every way. And if you don't learn to exercise the God-given power that is at your disposal, then someday, somewhere, sometime, someplace, you'll cave in, you'll give in, and after you realize what you've done, you'll say, my God, what did I do to myself? What did I do to my life? What did I do to my family? What did I do to my husband? What did I do to my wife? What did I do to my children? And so the God who created you, the God who gave you life, and the God who saved you, if you're a Christian, wants you to understand that there is a wonderful power available to you when it comes to resisting, and that power is the person of the Holy Spirit, is the person of Jesus. Now, if you'll turn with me in your copy of the Scripture to the book of Ephesians chapter 6, and Paul is talking to the saints in Ephesus. He's reminding them of the power at their disposal. And let's listen carefully to verse 11. Listen to what he says. Now, we'll go back up to verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. But I want you to look in verse 10 very carefully. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the, what's the next word? Power of His might. Well, what in the world does that mean? Well, we're going to get to that in just a moment, but turn back to the book of Romans for a moment. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, and Paul is talking to Christians in his day and time who he's wanting them to understand that they don't have to live the way they used to live. They don't have to behave the way they used to behave. They have somebody living on the inside of them, and that somebody is Jesus Christ. Listen to what he says. Because some of these have lived a life of sin, and many of these have lived a life of sin. Listen to what he says in Romans 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once. But in that he lives unto God. Now, listen carefully to verse 11. Likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, in both of these passages, Paul is saying, you have the power to overcome temptation because you have at your disposal the power of the might of the Lord God. And then in Romans chapter 6, Paul is saying, don't you know? In other words, Paul is saying, you have the might of God, but you need to know that you have the might of God, the power of God available to you. Now, this morning, I want you to listen very carefully because there are three things that you and I must understand whenever it comes to resisting and overcoming the power of temptation. And Paul is talking very clearly to these saints, and he's reminding them, and he's wanting them to understand that they have the power of God available to them. Now, power is one of those things that is very hard to define. You know, you see the power at work in the world around us. You know, you see the power of tornadoes. You see the power of earthquakes. You see the power of the wind. You see the power of storms. You see the power of hurricanes. And sometimes you hear about the power of electricity, what it does, and maybe what it does to an individual, and maybe somebody gets hold of some wires and what it does to them. But you and I need to understand whenever it comes to this word power, because if there's one word that's very difficult to understand, it is that one simple word. And you can see evidence all around us, but what in the world is power? Well, I want you to understand three things, and I'm going to have some object lessons for you to follow along in this morning. If one of the things you and I need to understand is power is always based upon the potential. In other words, if, you know, my potential power is based upon how much I could lift and how much, you know, for example, you have a bodybuilder, his potential to power is far greater than a weakling. He has far more power. He has far more ability. But here's the reality. There's still a limit to his power. And, you know, that's the reality whenever it comes to the power that you and I face. And power always determines potential. If I ask you, in and of myself, could I cut down a tree? You'd say, well, Pastor, I love you. I appreciate you. But, well, in and of yourself, you don't have the power to cut down a tree. You know, you say, now, how dare you say that to me? Now, if I had maybe an axe or if I had, you know, one of the old saws, well, maybe after a long time I could cut down a tree. Power always is determines potential. But when there is a power that is given unto my hand beyond me, my power is increased. Paul said this. Now, I want you to listen very carefully. Paul said to be strong in the Lord and in the power of what? His might. Now follow along with me. Paul is saying to every single one that is listening, he says, you have at your disposal a potential power greater than your ability. Now, watch me very carefully. Suppose I told you, well, can I cut down a tree? Now, let me ask it. Now, can I cut down a tree? Can I cut down a tree? You say, where in the world did you get that? This is a good lesson to watch. Now, power determines potential. But whenever I have a power beyond myself and I harness the power that is beyond myself, there is a potential to cut down a tree. Now, you say, are you going to start that thing? Absolutely not. Are you going to use that thing? Well, I could. But now, there is a power at my disposal beyond my human ability that could cut down whatever. And some of you have cut down whatever. And when I have this, just having it accessible to me doesn't mean a tree has fallen down. Some of you have saws and you say, well, now what do you mean? Having a power accessible does not mean that you've used it. In other words, if I put this down right here and I have a whole bunch of trees that need to be cut down, I could say, I wish I had those trees down. And you can say, well, Pastor, you've got the means to get them down. You've got the tool to get them down. All you have to do is access that power. Go out and start it up, put you some gas in it, put some lubrication in it, and you're good to go. Now listen, Paul was making this abundantly clear to the saints of God. He said, there is a power that is accessible to you. There is a power beyond your human comprehension that is always available to every single one of you. That's why Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, in verse 10, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the what? Power of whose might? His might. I would not have any capability of cutting a tree down in near the speed this can. Why? Because it enhances my power in cutting a tree down. And you know, you've used them. Many of you have used them many times. Now, what Paul is saying is this. There is a power that when it is harnessed, when it is harnessed, you know, it can be applied to a specific goal. If I take this saw out and I just rev it up, it may sound like it's doing work, but it's not doing any work until I apply it to the tree. Now, listen very carefully. You, if you're saved by the grace of God, you have the power of God at your disposal. You have been saved by the grace of God. You have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. And Paul said, when you understand that and you direct that toward temptation, there is not a temptation that all hell can throw at you that you have to surrender to. You have the power of Holy God not only available to you, but it's accessible. But the issue is, are you going to harness it? Are you going to apply it? Are you going to utilize the power of God? And you see, what happens so many times is this. We just say, well, I wish I could overcome temptation. You've got all the artillery available to you. You say, I just wish I could overcome sexual temptation. That's the hardest one in my life. You can. You just have to apply what God has already given to you. And you see, in the life of Paul and in those saints, he knew that they had the power available to them, but they never harnessed the power. They never applied the power, many of them, and they would walk into sin. Just like today, there's a lot of saved men, saved women. They're going to walk into some type of sin, some sexual sin. Why? Because they don't apply the power of God when it comes to temptation. You see, having power available does not mean that you've applied it. And you see, whenever you apply that power, it always accomplishes, but you've got to apply it. And so whenever Paul was talking to these saints, he said, you know, whenever you harness that power, you know, it increases the potential. That's why Paul said, you have the power. Listen to what he says. I want you to look in Ephesians chapter 6 again. I want you to look in Ephesians because he's talking to the saints of God. Listen to what he says. He says, finally, my brethren, what's the next two words? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Why do you give in? And here's one of the reasons we give in, and I'll get into another. We give in because we have been pre-programmed to give in. Before you were saved, by the grace of God, you gave in to temptation. Why? Because Satan had a chain around your neck, and we'll get into that in just a moment. But here's the reality. Satan yanked your chain, and you did whatever he told you to do. You gave in, you said something, you did something. Why? Because we were born into sin. But Paul says, you need to understand, there is the power of God. It don't make any difference just to hear it. I've got to apply it. It doesn't matter how intense your temptation situation. The power of God is right there in the middle of that temptation. Let me take you back to an Old Testament passage just to give you an idea. Here's Joseph and here's Potiphar's wife. And she says to Joseph, come to bed with me. She seduces him. She says, why don't you come to bed with me? And Joseph was a handsome man, a good-looking man. The Bible says he was comely and well-favored. And in our vernacular, that means handsome and good-looking. He wasn't ugly to look at. She looked at him. She wanted him. How could Joseph resist whenever she was luring him? He said, well, you know, you just can't help some things. That's a lie straight out of hell. Let me ask you a question. If you believe that, then you've got to surrender yourself to say, well, you know what? God don't give me power over all temptation. He just gives me power over some of them. Some of them I can't help. And that's not consistent with the Word of God at all. But here was Joseph. Potiphar's wife was attractive and luring as well, and he refused to be with her. The Bible says that he wouldn't even be with her. In other words, he got out of the house. Why? Because he utilized the God-given power at his disposal. Now, you're in a situation, you're in a temptation in your life, young man, young woman, or whatever it may be, tempted in a situation not to tell the truth, tempted in a situation not to say anything about what you just did because maybe it'll cost you money and you'll have to pay for something you don't want to have to pay money for, or maybe you got back change or something, you shouldn't have got that change, and whatever it is. Listen, the Bible makes it very clear that you have been given power. But here's what happens. A lot of times, all through life, it's like carrying a chainsaw around all through life. You have power, potential, but you never use it. Let me ask you a question. If I never use this chainsaw, if I never exercise this chainsaw, it would be the same thing as though I believed I didn't have the chainsaw. But you saw me walking with it all around. Now you say, well, but why aren't you using it? I wish I had my trees cut down at the house. I just wish they were cut down. And some of you say, well, Pastor, if you really wish that, won't you take that home and cut them down? Can you imagine how the Father must look at us sometimes and think, now, He's patient with us. You have power at your disposal. You have power available to you. You have the power of God. And that's what Paul knew. That's what he wanted these saints of God to know. He said, you have the power of Holy God at your disposal. And you see, the fact is, when you were saved by the grace of God. Now, if I ask you if you're saved by the grace of God to raise your hand, I'm not going to do that, but many of you, most of us, would raise our hand. Do you realize that when you were saved, you was given that power? That power has been there for 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. You say, well, why don't I use it? Good question. Now, I'll explain that right now. Because there's something that happened when we were born into this world, and a lot of times we never changed our mindset. Now, we understand that He's given us power, but the problem is the bondage we're in. Now, look at number 2. The reason that so many people continue to live in sin and continue to yield to temptation and give in, and they make one mistake after another, is because they're living the way they were before they were saved. Now, if you can imagine yourself with a leash around your neck, bondage. You was born into bondage. The Bible says that every one of us was born into sin. You was born into sin, and I was born into sin. And what happened is Satan would suggest something to us, so to speak. He'd pull our chain, he'd pull our leash, and we'd do what he said. Maybe it was a covetous thought, or maybe it was some ungodly thought. And you would give in to it. Paul put it this way in Romans 5:18, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Simply put, the Bible says that you were born into bondage. You were born into sin. But here's the thing. When you was born into bondage, Satan would tell you to do something and you did it. Satan would pull out on your chain and you'd do it because you was in bondage. But here's the thing. Oftentimes we continue to do those learned behaviors even before we were saved. Let me give you an example. Suppose you have a dog, and this week we had the wonderful privilege of dog sitting. I don't know if you've ever had that, but everybody needs to have that once or twice in their life. And Stephanie's dog will not go outside unless it's on a leash. And Charlotte won't touch it. So Charlotte used good psychology on it. She went over and touched the dog's neck with the leash. The dog believed it was on the leash. She opened the door. The dog went outside. All because of a trained behavior that was in that dog's mind. That dog believed it was on a leash. It went outside, came inside, and Charlotte took the leash off. Abracadabra. Now, I really believe God allowed that to happen for this message. Because here's the reality. So many of us live by preconditioned behaviors in the past. Now, listen to what Paul says. Paul says, you're no longer under sin. You're no longer under Satan. Before you were saved, Satan would harass you. He'd tell you to do something, and you would do it. Because you didn't have the power of God living on the inside of you. You didn't have Jesus Christ living on the inside of you. So you would surrender to those temptations. But afterwards, Satan still harasses you and still suggests to you to do things, but he can't make you because the chain has been broken. You are no longer under bondage. And that's exactly what Paul said to the saints of God. You can live and realize that you're no longer that person you was before you were a child of God. But here's the reality. You have trained behaviors in your mind. You know how I can tell? I hear people say it all the time. Well, you know, you can't help but sin, a trained behavior thought pattern. Well, you know, you can't help but do some things, a trained behavior thought pattern. And the reality is, if I have to give in to sin, then Satan is stronger than Jesus. Did you hear what I said? If I have to give in to sin, then Satan is stronger than Jesus. Now, don't you wake up in the last part of what I just said. And you know and I know that there is absolutely no way under God's heaven that Satan is more powerful than the Lord Jesus. Well, why do people sin? Because we live out trained behaviors. A man refuses to say no to temptation. A woman refuses to say no to temptation. A young person refuses to say no. Why? Well, I just can't help it. That's a lie. That is a lie straight out of the pit. You can. Because the Bible says greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And you see, when you didn't have Jesus Christ living on the inside of your heart, you couldn't help but. That's why we need to be very patient and be very sensitive and kind to people that are lost without Christ. Because they follow the pull of Satan. They don't have the power of Jesus living on the inside. And you have an ungodly thought that goes through your mind. And I hear this said all the time. And if I was talking to you, sitting down one-on-one and talking to you in a conversation, let me give you a caution mark. Don't ever believe and don't ever practice the mental harassing voice of Satan that goes like this. Well, if you think it, you might as well say it. Can you believe? You know, some people say, well, you know, I think it, I might as well say it. That's absolutely. Have you ever looked at somebody and say, they don't look good in that outfit? Or they, you know, don't go up and tell them that. For example, if you look at me, Pastor, you don't look good in that suit. Don't come up and say that to me. You can keep that to yourself. But here's the reality. We honestly, unconsciously go by pre-programmed data that's in our mind. And that's one of the realities of Satan. He wants you to live. Listen, he can't change you after you're saved, but he wants you to live by the bondage. And he wants you to keep thinking based on the past. That's why he don't want you to read the Bible. He don't want you to claim the truth, live the truth, believe in the truth. And so when it comes to bondage in our lives, and so, you know, Paul is reminding these saints in verse 6:11, in verse 10, he said, not only dead to sin, but alive to God. And you see, if you keep yielding to temptation, let me ask you a question. If you keep yielding to temptation, you are personally saying by your yielding, I can't help it. You say, I can't help it. Well, then you've got a real big problem. You've got a very tiny Jesus in your heart. And there's no such thing. Jesus is God living on the inside of every born-again believer. Amen? There is no such thing as a small... Listen, he gives you power. He infuses you with power. Listen, Paul says, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ. You mean, Paul, that you can live godly in the midst of a world where there's temptation? Absolutely. Listen, his world was even more pagan than ours. You say, surely it wasn't. Listen, there was a day, listen, there was gods for everything. At least you don't hear people talking about to the god of Aphrodite or to the goddess of Diana, to the god of this, to the god of that. It was a pagan world in which Paul lived. And he said, you need to realize to the saints, you're dead to sin. You listen, now can you keep those ungodly thoughts going through your mind? I want you to listen to me very carefully. You have an ungodly video goes through your mind, an ungodly voice, an ungodly picture, an ungodly image that goes through your mind. You say, well, can I keep those going through my mind? Many of them you cannot. Many of them you can. But here's the reality. You don't have to yearn for them. You don't have to want them. Because you have been given the power. You have access to the power of God. And so that's what Paul is wanting the saints to understand. So you need to understand bondage. See, the thing about it is, if you keep yielding to temptation, Satan is luring you, he's luring you, and you're believing lies that you don't have to believe. And you see, when you believe that and live that way and walk that way, I can tell you what's going to happen to your life. You're going to someday devastate your life, your character, and your future. Why? Because that's the goal of Satan. Listen, friends, Satan is not fighting fair. He is not out to hurt you. Don't you dare think Satan's out to hurt you. He is out to kill you. His goal is to steal, to kill, and destroy. And that's why you need to be serious, because there is no neutrality whenever it comes to this warfare, when it comes to temptation. So second of all, you need to understand what bondage. But third of all, you need to understand what being alive to God means. Now, if I ask you, do you understand, if I ask you what alive to God means, you say, it sounds good, but I really struggle with understanding what it means. Well, let me give you a picture to try to emphasize and try to explain what it was. Let's suppose a couple, they were childless, they didn't have any children, and They came across a mass fortune. Somebody left them a world of finances. And after they came across those finances, about 2 or 3 years later, they decided they wanted to adopt a child. And so they adopt a little child and a little baby. And when that child is adopted into the family, let me ask you, how much of those parents' wealth belongs to that child? Every penny of it. When did that child get the wealth? When the child came inside the family. Paul is saying this to the saints of God. Now, was that child there when the parents inherited the wealth? Absolutely not. But is that child still have the wealth available to him? Yes, at a time and point. Now, here's the point that Paul is making to the saints of God. He said, you've been buried with Christ. Now, you and I, if I ask you what does baptism mean, we'd always relate it to being baptized and following the Lord Jesus Christ. In Paul's day, they understood it that way, but they also understood it another way completely. Women would baptize a white fabric to dye it. They'd want to dye it a different color. It would become something completely different because they would baptizo it. They would baptize it. They would immerse it into a dye. And what Paul is saying, and by the way, Gentiles in that day and time, if they wanted to become Jews, they would be baptized. They would go through certain rituals, and then they would be baptized into the Jewish faith, and they'd, you know, follow the customs of the Jews, follow the behavior of the Jews, but it would culminate in a baptism. What Paul is saying this, you were baptized, and when you came to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you became a part of the family of God. Listen, you have the complete power of Jesus Christ inside of you. It's not out there in the heavens someplace. It is inside of you. Isn't it sad? Wouldn't it be sad to have a wallet full of money and then to live and act like a pauper? There is something far worse than that happening. There are Christians who have the power of God at their disposal and available, and they live and they surrender to temptation and they give in to temptation because they never access the power that God has given to them. They never claim a power beyond themselves. They never claim what God has given to them. And you see what Paul is reminding these saints of? He said, you've been baptized with Christ. Do you realize that what Christ has, you have? You have power over every temptation. How many times did Jesus sin? Once, twice, three times, four times? How many did he sin? You tell me. Zero. You have been placed into the family of God. What Jesus has at his disposal, you have at your disposal. You have the very power of God. Here, listen carefully. But if you don't exercise it, here's what's going to happen. Someday, somewhere, sometime, somebody's going to tempt you. You're going to cave in. And then you're going to cry to God for help. Oh, God, help me. I didn't mean to do this. And he's going to let you know that it's a serious deal because you're going to reap exactly what you've sown. And you know, when Paul was talking to these saints, he said, you need to be strong in the Lord. The truth is, you have power to resist. You have power to resist the sensual temptations. You have power to resist the financial temptations. But the issue is, do you choose to resist? Do you want to resist? It's amazing in the world that we live in how many people just don't want to resist. I saw something of a headline not too long ago, and the question was raised, is it going to be that pornography is the new norm in the culture we live in? You see, here's the reality. If you've been saved by the grace of God, if you've been invited Christ into your heart, you have his power. All power, Jesus said, has been given to me. And he gives you power. Paul told the saints in Rome, he said, you're to be dead to sin. Listen, some ladies, some young man comes along luring your life. You know you've been saved by the grace of Jesus Christ. You can say this, I'm alive to God, I'm dead to sin. I have the power of God to say no to this temptation. He wants to do something. He wants me to just have a meal with him. I'm alive to God, I'm dead to sin. Because is that the truth of God? It's the truth of the living God. It's the Word of God. And you need to understand, whenever you exercise power, here's what you realize. You know what? God gives me power. No, I don't have to do that. I don't have to say that. I don't have to go that way. Now, you may say that, well, Pastor, that seems a little bit arrogant. You know, I don't have that same power that you do. Yes, you do. You have it living on the inside of your body. If you're a person, if you've been saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, the thing about it is do you know it? Second of all, do you realize it? Or are you just listening to Satan lure you? And you say, the chain's been broken, but he just keeps luring you over here. Come over here. Come over here. Do this. Say this. The Bible says, don't you be deceived. God is not mocked. If you could hear the testimony of some people that are this day living a shattered life, husband says, you know, I didn't think it would come to this. I didn't think I would lose my family and my wife. It just started when I hired a secretary at our law firm. I was just hiring a secretary. But I never thought that hiring her, one thing would lead to another, would lead to another, would lead to another. And he would lose his marriage. He would lose his wife and probably the visitation rights to his children. And what I just told you, the true story. And it's repeated all over the world. You wake up one day and you decided you didn't want to resist anymore. You wake up one day, you think, well, you know what? This person, this situation, that's attractive, that's luring, that person's attractive. And all of a sudden, you have ripped your life down the middle. You say, well, God will put my life back together again. I want to ask you one question. Show me one person in the Bible who ripped their life that God completely put it back together as though they had never sinned. You'll not find a single one. You say they still counted for God, right? Yes, they did. David had sex with Bathsheba. But David, you remember the epitaph of God over David's life? David, the sword shall never leave your what? House. There is a sword that comes when we continually yield. And some people will say this, why don't God love me? He does love you. And God puts people in your life to encourage you and to remind you and instruct you because you and I have been given the power of God. But the issue is, will I act on it? If I believe this chainsaw does what it does, I'll pick it up. When I need to cut down a tree, I'll fire it up, and that tree will come down. But imagine me going out, taking this chainsaw and just trying to hit the tree with the chainsaw. I can imagine what Ken would do if he saw me do that with the chainsaw. Why? And you see, here's the reality. Oftentimes we live just that way, that we don't have the Word of God, but you have. Everything at your disposal, all that you need, the issue is, will you apply it to your life? Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the truth of your word. And Father, thank you that you've given us the power to overcome every temptation. We can say no and say it under the authority of God. It doesn't matter what it is. But Father, the issue is, will we? Satan doesn't have any hold over any believer anymore. But we can live based on the past. And Father, some of our mindsets are so entrenched, but that's still not the truth. So many live with a mindset that they've got the chain around their throat. They're still living in bondage, though they've been freed. Father, would you just etch in each of our heart? We have been freed from the power of sin. Satan don't have any power over us except what we allow him, what we surrender to him, what we willfully decide to let him have. And Father, I pray for that person this morning who's without Christ. They find themselves being tempted and giving in to temptation and sinning because they don't have the power to resist. They don't have the Lord Jesus Christ living within them. And Father, I pray for them. Lord, may they come to know what it is to be saved today. May they come to know what it is to have everlasting life. Father, I pray for that young person, that older person, who's sitting here and has been listening to the message, and they honestly are struggling. They're fighting under the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for convicting. And please, we ask you to convict every heart. And we know that you do. That's without Christ. Convict of sin, of judgment, and of righteousness. Draw to you today all whom you would, Father. And we thank you. In Jesus we pray.